For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the channel. We are just a couple days away from AEW Full Gear 2023. And of course, I'm here to make predictions, run down and preview the card, but I am not alone. In fact, I am joined today by none other than Sports Illustrated's very own Justin Barrasso. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Denise. Thank you so much. A little backstory for your viewers, if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it. I was about to ask you anyways. Yeah.
We had the chance to meet, I think, the first time at the Cody Rhodes dock, which was in, were we in Marietta? We were
right. It was in Atlanta, Georgia, actually.
Okay. After a while, it all starts to blend, right? And it was an awesome night. And I feel like so many wrestling events, they'll take care of you right up through the event. Then after you're on your own, Cody had like mini pizzas for us. After the show, it was such a, and you know, from Boston, anytime we get warm weather, like you relish it, right? It was hot that night. It was awesome. It was just a great night. Anyways, meeting you was a highlight too. You're so passionate in your work. It's easy to see why your interviews are successful. They're thoughtful, they're engaging, they're compelling. So the fact that you asked me to come on means a lot. And hey, I'm excited to break down Full Gear.
Thank you. It's funny because when you said you were going to give a little background, I was like, I thought the background was going to be on you. And I was like, let's go for it, man, because you obviously do such great work with Sports Illustrated. You have done such great work with Sports Illustrated. And it was funny, too, because when we were at that event and the way that we kind of got introduced was we were in a dark theater. I was walking and you stopped me and turned me and I turned and I was like, oh, hey. And
it sounds like a haunted horror film. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, Justin. I didn't even know you knew who I was. So it was kind of very nice to hear you say some of the nice things that you said to me that day.
I think one of the interviews that stuck out early on was just because I've seen so many, I don't want to say the older voices, Denise, but there's just so many voices that have been in my life for so long. So like if I heard a Jim Ross interview, sometimes I feel like I could answer the question before he could. There's just certain voices. Shawn Michaels, in one of the interviews you did with Shawn, it was certainly a pandemic interview. I just don't remember when exactly, but I remember thinking you got so much like real, raw, authentic comments out of Sean. And Sean's been interviewed 1,000 times, right? I mean, like he's been asked the same sort of questions over and over again. And I just thought it was so interesting. Like I remember thinking to myself, like, I wonder what your legal pad looks like. The questions beforehand or your phone, wherever you use, but like the questions were creative, they were different. And so that's what first seized my attention. So yeah, big fan of your work.
Thank you so much, man. That really makes me very happy. I feel like I'm going to walk with like my head higher today. So Justin, let's get to it. So we're going to talk about AEW Full Gear. We're going to run down the card, talk a little bit about how we feel overall for the matches and everything. And of course, for those of you who are watching live, feel free to take part in the chat and let us know what you guys think and how you guys feel about the entire card. So let's get to it. I want to start off by asking you the most obvious question, Justin, and that is because this is the speculation point of it all, where everybody is wondering who is the person that has signed with AEW. Do you have any predictions?
That's a tough one because I feel like the people that I would have thought are still under the 90-day limit, like I think Dolph Ziggler or Nemeth makes the most sense, especially with the comedy shows coming up. Maybe he wasn't under a 90-day. I don't know. I thought he was. I don't know why I'm leaning toward a Ziggler or a – I just don't think – to me, it's a, like, if you read, and maybe we're overanalyzing Tony's tweets and shame on us for doing that, but calling this person a really dedicated pro, I don't know. I don't think like that's a Mercedes Moné. Like I think Moné, when she comes in, it's like, get ready for this mega superstar. I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading it, but to me, it's a pro's pro. It's a Shelton Benjamin. It's a Dolph Ziggler. It's a, maybe it's Shibata. Maybe it's someone from the New Japan world. Maybe it's Ospreay, right? And they came to a deal early because they have such a good relationship with New Japan. You know what? I'll say Will Ospreay. That'll be my pick for ahead of Full Gear. How about you?
So mine was actually originally Mercedes Monet, but then I thought maybe that's too easy. And then afterwards, I really felt like, okay, this can really go any sort of direction. And I know you mentioned like, oh, shame on us for trying to break down what Tony Khan said, yeah. But I did it too. I know all the people did it too. We were like honing in on the line where he said something about this person has everybody's respect in AEW. And I'm going, well, like, who can that be? And why would you throw that in there? And we do that because obviously when you don't tell us, we're going to look into the hints, right?
Right. So that to me is, if that was the tell, it's someone who's like a workhorse. So, I mean, there's a lot of, and take your pick of free agents who are workhorses. Like it could be Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher, I'm sure everyone in AEW respects. There's so many people, I mean, that are well-respected in wrestling, but I don't know, with Mercedes, who I'm very excited to see in AEW one day, I feel like that debut needs to be roll up. I won't apologize. If it's a tweet a couple days before, I'll be very disappointed if that's the rollout for Mercedes. I mean, Mercedes is one of the biggest stars in all of wrestling. I don't know. So I'll say Will Ospreay, not to say he's not a big star in wrestling, but I don't know. I feel like
it's a different presentation of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think, like, for example, you know how WWE, when they brought in Jade Cargill, they really like, man, they rolled out the red carpet for her. I think something along the lines like that for Mercedes Moné is what I would like to see in AEW, right?
And you don't even need, it's a great point. You don't even need her to be healthy to do that in theory, right? Because look at Jade, she hasn't worked yet. You wouldn't know if she was injured. I agree. I think when Mercedes comes in, and it's not pomp and circumstance, it's not hype injection. It's legitimate. Like Mercedes is that good. So I agree. When she comes in, you need, I always think back to Flair and WWF the first time, and he came in as a heel, but you know, Bobby Heenan was proclaiming how great this guy was. And like, you need something like that. I agree. That's what they'll need. Yeah. Cause you can't miss with Mercedes, and you want to get that one right.
Yes, I agree. Oh my gosh, feeling you on this one. So that's going to be exciting. I know everybody's going to be waiting for that moment to see who comes out, who's the person that is signing and becoming All Elite. We got a super chat here from Jeff Meacham Network who says, hi from the MJF meet and greet in Downey. Much love for Denise. So I didn't know that MJF was going to be in Downey. I literally just found out, and I'm super close to Downey. I was like, what? I had no idea.
And it's so nice too. I always think of the internet as the Wild West. Like you could watch anything or read anything. And the fact that they want to click on this and listen to you or listen to us, I hope too. Oh, it's, does that make your heart explode, right? It means so much.
Yes, I agree. All right, so let's get to our prediction. So the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to put up the graphic. We'll run through some of the matches. We'll work our way to the very top. And I'll just kind of like run from there, ask you some questions, and we'll go from there.
And a brief disclosure, I love Full Gear. Opening with the first year, I think it was Cody and Jericho. That was the first Full Gear. It just has the ethos of AEW. We saw the Moxley Omega match. They have a lot of hype to live up. They have a lot of legacy AEW is still very nascent, but a lot to live up to in their short history. So yeah, I'm ready to do it. Let's go.
Right. Especially because you mentioned like that short history. Yes, it's short, but it's been very good. Like they set the bar very high from the very beginning. Yes. Yeah. All right, here we go. And of course, if you're in the chat, take part. Let us know what your predictions are. Let's kick it off with this one here. And this is the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship match. MJF with a partner that is still unknown versus the Guns, of course, in the 0 Hour match. This has to be Samoa Joe, right?
Yeah, could it be Roderick Strong? And somehow you work those guys in? I'd love to see Matt Taven get a little more run too. And then have Roddy do the spot off the wheelchair, come in the ring. And then go back to the chair. I like Taven, I like Bennett, I like those guys. I think they add to the product. I don't particularly know that they've got enough airtime yet. Right? Yeah, it's still and maybe Matt's looked at as an impact guy and he's in AEW. But I think given the amount of time they've had, they've made the most of it. I'm gonna say Matt Taven there. Samoa Joe would make a lot of sense, especially that he is no longer, I don't want to say weighed down because that's not the right way to look at a title, but he is no longer carrying gold. He's got a little more free time on his hands. So Joe, or I'd be okay with Matt Taven. And I don't know. I still think it's mostly going to be 2-on-1 here, but I'm excited to see what we can see from the Guns. They've looked better. Like they have just made themselves a little more distinct than just being Billy Gunn's sons. So hopefully they can continue to show some more layers here.
I think you're right, too, when it comes to Matt Taven and the Kingdom and what they've been doing there, because they have been in the shadows of this storyline. Obviously, they're just there being hokey with Roderick Strong. And if it's, I feel like it has to be Samoa Joe only for the simple fact that I feel like it would continue the story that they're telling there. But then I do like the idea of it being Roderick Strong because that would be super hokey. But either way, I don't know. But do you think we're going to see title change here for the Ring of Honor or tag team titles?
I don't think so because, Tony Khan is probably, I feel like that I've just been watching long enough that I can typically tell when a belt's going to change hands on a pay-per-view or how the structure, like New Japan titles are fairly easy. If the titles change early, they won't change late. If they don't change early, they will change late. WWE, Triple H is an old school booker. Tony's a wild card. Tony's so hard to gauge. So my predictions, if you're using DraftKings or something, they could be all wrong, but. Tony's hard to gauge. He really is. I'll say no. I think they're going to keep as much value on Max with the titles as possible, and that includes the Ring of Honor belts. I just don't see how, especially with Final Battle coming up, I don't see how Max not being at least one half of the tag champs, how you increase value without him.
Right. And I think for me, like anytime, and I said this the last time too, when we had the pre-show match on All In, I can't see the guy who's going to be in the main event taking a loss in the 0 hour. And so I kind of feel like I'm saying the same thing here because that's how I felt at All In. So personally, that's how I still feel. Like anytime MJF or any champion is in a 0 hour match, like you gotta be winning. Like, I'm sorry. Like, especially if you're going to be in the main event later on in the night.
And there are, for those, I know there's always people who will say, well, like there were the examples, and I can think of two WrestleMania examples where Owen beats Brett in the opener, or the great 31 match where Randy Orton, it's that great curb stomp, beats Seth Rollins. But those guys both won the belt that night, and then they had a setup challenger, you know, Brett and Owen, Seth and Randy. That's not the case here, right? The guns aren't going to challenge MJF for the world title. So I'm with you 100%. Max and whoever retain the ROH tag titles. Plus, if you want people to buy the pay, I mean, it's hard to ask people to buy, spend money in December. If you want people to buy a pay-per-view, you got to have Max on that card.
Yes, exactly. All right, next up, here we go. Let's get into the Women's TBS Championship match. And of course, I just dropped an interview with Chris Statlander if you guys want to check that out. But she is going to be challenging Julia Hart and, defending her title against Julia Hart and Sky Blue, two very popular competitors here. Are you sensing the end of Chris Statlander's reign?
I feel like we're still in the beginning. I feel like she's a long reign. And I think this is something we'll see if I'm right. But I feel like if I can read Tony here, I think we're going to see a long Chris Statlander reign. The other women's title, it'll be a little bit different with the AEW women's title. But I think she needs a long reign. She was the one to dethrone Jade Cargill, which really didn't. I feel like, it didn't mean as much as it should have. It wasn't on pay-per-view. It was so sudden. Excuse me. It was after a
match. The rematch. Yeah, the rematch.
So, I feel like they're not. And Chris is a phenomenal talent and continues to get better and continues to showcase she's a star. I think they're just starting to scratch the surface in her title reign.
Oh my gosh. All right. So here we go. I'm polar opposite on my predictions for this one. I think this is the end for Chris Statlander as TBS champion because I'm sensing that whenever, especially with the women's division in AEW, whenever someone gets hot, I feel like that is when we see a little bit more of a change with the belts, right? And so for that reason, I feel like they've given Chris a good enough reign. Like, she's had a lot of defenses, like over 10 defenses as TBS champion. She's had some really good matches, right? One of my most favorite ones was the one that she had with Emi Sakura. And I feel like right now, with the attention that both Julia and Sky Blue, more specifically Julia Hart, is getting, I have a feeling they're gonna go with Julia Hart and they're gonna ride this wave right now of momentum that she has, because it's not very often that you see that happen for certain women in the roster. So when it does, like, you got to strike while the lightning's hot.
Especially, it's remarkable at her age. I mean, all three of them are really talented, right? They wouldn't be on the pay-per-view if they weren't, but Julia Hart has come so quickly. I don't think they'll make the title change, but if they did, I mean, it'll be compelling, right? So yeah, that's a fun match. I'm excited to see. I think triple threats are quietly very hard because you've got, instead of two people to communicate, you've got three. So I'm excited to see how they work together. Yeah, I'm excited. I think I hope they get time, which they should. These pay-per-views aren't short, and that's a good thing. They need the 10, 15.
We have less matches this time than we normally do.
True. So you got to give them, and you can't rush these matches. Like, you can't rush a triple threat. So I hope they get the 14 to 18 minutes they deserve and see what they can produce. Fun. This is our first disagreement. We'll see.
Yes. Let's go. I'm going to tweet you after this match and see what we're doing. See where we're at with the predictions. Uriel Landeros, is a DWO member, says, sadly, I feel that Sky turns and costs Chris Statlander. Huh? That would be a nice way to go about things, I feel.
And the neat thing is, it's a great comment. The neat thing is, like, Sky's got so much potential to go anyway. Like, I love the unpredictability part. And I don't know if I saw that right away when she, but in a very short time, she's, again, super talented, like, makes you want to watch. I think that what greater gift can you have as a performer than make someone want to tune in and watch? So I don't know. I still think we'll see Chris. We have more, there's more meat on the bone for Chris's title reign, but they got our attention.
Yes. And you were talking about people that are great to watch on TV. Well, that leads us into our next one. And that is the Golden Jets, Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho taking on the Young Bucks here. Now, this is one that we have seen a change in the Young Bucks. We're seeing more heel versions of them. Are you surprised by the new direction in which we're seeing the Bucks? And how do you feel about this partnering between Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega?
Questions. I thought that last night on Dynamite told us everything you needed to know about Matt and Nick Jackson as the Young Bucks. Like, they thrive as the bad guys. They're so good at it. And I don't know if it was the crowd last night, being in California, being in front of their parents, working with two luchadors, and they work that style exceptionally well. The interview backstage with Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega, but, like, man, they just felt like the Bucks again. I'm really excited. I feel like they take advantage of whatever rules they can to win this match, to break up Chris and Kenny. Maybe we can see some friction there. Maybe Chris is part of the Callis family. I don't know. He's not done. There's more to this story. I don't know if Kenny and Chris will break yet, so it would make sense for them to get a title shot. The Bucks don't need the tag titles right now. Or maybe Kenny and Chris win and the Bucks don't shake after or something, but I like the new Attitude Bucks. It reminds me of the old Attitude, the old Ring of Honor Bucks. I'm excited by it. Kenny and Chris together? I don't know. I mean, both those guys, right? Chris has been in our lives for what?
Forever.
Yeah, the 90s. And Kenny, anytime Kenny's on, whether it's a Sega Genesis match or the main event, or Kenny makes things exciting and fun. And I'm a huge fan of Kenny's work. So, yeah, I don't know. I you know what? I'll take that back. I'll say Kenny and Chris win this, but the Bucks are salty about the loss. That's how well. Yeah, there's more opportunity for them. They don't need the tag titles, the Bucks. Kenny and Chris don't either, but I don't know. I get a sense that Kenny and Chris aren't done working together yet.
So I was hoping your answer would inspire my prediction because I still was unsure. And then when you started going with the Young Bucks, I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to go with the Young Bucks too. And then you switched last minute and I was like, damn, now I don't know what to do here. Because, like, I'll be real with you. I'm not super crazy about Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho teaming up together. Like, I haven't really been dugging it. And the Young Bucks are heels, right? But they've kind of been making sense to me. Like, I get the reasons why they're mad. So I'm like, sure, like, I'm out here agreeing with the heels. That's not necessarily what you want to see, right? But I don't feel like if the Young Bucks right now are going to be doing this character change, I want to see them kind of get started off kind of hot, right? Get them the win. But I feel like you said they're going to want to keep Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega teaming up a lot longer. So
it seems rushed. Right. On Saturday, but
so I agree with you. I think it's got to be Kenny and Chris Jericho taking the win here.
Though I do love that point you just made. I love the villains who make sense. Because why are they villains, right? So maybe the Bucks will be, but I agree. It'll be interesting. And I wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be, I don't think Kenny would, just in terms of the story, but I wouldn't be shocked if Jericho bends the rules to win the match, unbeknownst to Kenny, maybe something like that. And that allows the Bucks to have a hold a gripe, and rightfully so.
Yes, we got a super chat here from Nick Grasso. Hey, Nick, I haven't seen you in a while. Thank you so much for joining the stream. Nick says, I think there's a very good chance the big signing is Sami Callihan because he's in LA for his company's big show and he's considered a big free agent. He's definitely a name, Justin, that has been mentioned, that has been thrown around. However, I almost feel like I don't think it's him at all. I'll be real with you. Like, I know a lot of people have been mentioning him, but I just don't think it's Sami Callihan.
I don't know if, you know, this is Nick Grasso. The, if you read the, or you follow the tracks, I think that's a really smart point because Moxley, John didn't work the last Revolver show, right? Because he was hurt, but he was part of it. Renee's been involved. So there's been a lot of AEW involvement with Sammy's company. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And again, someone I think that if you're looking, if we're going to, you know, look so deeply or put a microscope on Tony's tweet, that would describe Sammy, right? Someone people respect, a real hardworking pro. So yeah, I could actually really see that being the, I could see Sammy being the guy.
The only reason why I don't think it's Sami Callihan is I actually think that they would introduce him in a different way on the show. And I don't think that they would do it necessarily on a pay-per-view like this with this kind of an announcement. I would imagine that he would have like some Dynamite moment or a moment on Collision where he comes out and that's like his big debut versus doing it for the actual Full Gear pay-per-view. That's the only reason, especially because I feel like the person that... I feel like the person that is going to be coming out is maybe going to be a little bit more known because obviously Sami Callihan is known, right? But he's known to, I think, a certain specific type of audience. And I don't know, I can imagine that if you're going to put somebody on the pay-per-view, they're probably going to be known just a little bit from a different kind of an audience, maybe not just the hardcore wrestling fans.
It's such a catch-22 if you're Tony. I mean, you want as many people in the across the world as possible to buy this pay-per-view and you want to give them as many hooks to do so. But at the same point too, like I think back to the NXT takeovers where they'd have the surprise front row. And then you look at the Adam Cole debut. And when they came out, those guys came out, Cole and Roddy and those guys, they were unannounced. It wasn't like they were ringside and they came in and what attacked Drew McIntyre. And it was such a cool surprise moment. Like to me, those are the best moments. So again, I know, and look at us, like we're talking about it. We're excited about it. There's clearly a lot of interest on social media about who the surprise is, but at the same point too, it's fun to be surprised. So I don't know. I feel like whoever it is, there's probably going to be, oh, it was him. I wish it was her. Or I wish it was, yeah,
no matter what.
You're setting yourself up for that though. When you announce it ahead of time, even Christian Cage, when he was announced, you're like, really? That's the big signing. Christian Cage is a big name, but no matter what, Big Show or Paul White came in. That's it. It's like, well, yeah, that's a big name. But I feel like if you didn't set it up ahead of time, maybe it would have a bigger bang, but Tony wants to sell pay-per-views, so he is at 22.
Yes, Heel Hammer says the new signing is Eva Marie. Ha 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 ha. Heel Hammer's just up here healing it up in the chat. Thank you so much for the super chat. Demon Murder says it's Goldberg. We've been having this discussion. A lot of people are also throwing out Goldberg's name. Of course, I do not know. It would be wild. It would be a fun night on Twitter, Justin.
To say the least. He's got one. Bill's got one more match in him. Maybe two, but yeah, I don't think he'd be the guy, but to watch those Twitter reactions, I mean, what's the expression? Get your popcorn ready, right?
Yes, exactly. All righty, let's go ahead and get on to our next match. Here we go. The next one is the AEW World Tag Team Championship match, and this is going to be the champs, Ricky Starks and Big Bill, defending against LFI, FTR, and House of Black. There are a lot of teams in this match, Justin, that I truly feel have a case for winning the titles. I'm going to kind of exclude FTR from this one only because they've been champions so many times. They really don't need this. I feel like all of the other teams needed so much more, but I'm going to go ahead and say that my pick for this is I would love to see Big Bill and Ricky Starks retain. However, I feel like the way that they've been setting up the House of Black on Collision and really making them look strong, I have a feeling this is going to be the House of Black. What do you think?
I feel the same way, actually. Again, my concern here is like, what about Ricky? Like, I hope that there's plans for him next because he's so good. He worked the Punk program. I know I got cut a little short, but like, he was phenomenal. He worked the Bryan program. He was phenomenal. Where do we go next with Ricky Starks? I think Ricky would be a great candidate to be place back in the world title picture. The House of Black, I go back and forth on, like, do they need the belts? I don't think so, because they're so good without them. But it definitely enhances the act, right? I mean, to be champions. So I'm with you. I'll go House of Black as well.
Yeah, I feel you. I only say House of Black because I do think they need the championships, only because I feel like they've had some highs in AEW, but primarily I feel like they've had more lows than highs. And so for that reason, if you really want to set them up and kind of solidify this dominance that we've been seeing on Collision, go give them the titles, man. Let's go. Let's run it down. Let's do this. So that's the only reason why I'm thinking it's House of Black, although I agree with you, man. Like, where do we go from here with Ricky Starks? He went from such a high on Collision and he kept it there, like you mentioned, with Punk and Bryan, but now it kind of feels like it's a big drop from going from that to just teaming up with Big Bill. Nothing against Big Bill, right? But it's just a totally different act and a whole totally different story.
Unless Ricky's somehow involved in the Devil program.
Ooh.
I don't necessarily think that he is, but he could pull it off.
I think so too. I actually wouldn't mind it, but I know it'd kind of be too many loopholes and stories and what ifs and all of this explanation, right? Alrighty.
I always say, like, it's our fault for trying to apply logic to pro wrestling.
That's what we do, though. That's what we do. We try to apply logic and common sense all the damn time, and it gets us in trouble.
Bites us every time, yeah.
We got a super chat here from Wish Tap. Thank you so much to Wish Tap, who says, do you think there's anything building with Kenny calling the Bucks children and just wanting to talk, referencing Punk during his time in AEW? So, yes. But I don't think that it has to do necessarily with Punk. Like, I don't think this means Punk is coming back to AEW. If anything, I think this is just building the new heel personas that we're going to be seeing for the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I agree. To me, it's like an SNL skit where they're playing off real life. But Punk's not coming back. They didn't end on good terms, clearly, right? That's not breaking news. But I think you can read between the lines on the connection there. Yeah, absolutely.
Demon Murder says, if not Goldberg, I say Dolph Ziggler. So I know that's somebody that you mentioned. So I guess Dolph Ziggler's kind of moving up the ladder in terms of predictions of who we think it might be. Thank you so much to Demon Murder for that.
Dolph Ziggler turned around Goldberg's career, if you remember, that SummerSlam after the awful Goldberg-Taker match in Sony. But Ziggler, like, single-handedly saved Goldberg. It made him look like a star again. We were back off and running.
Yes, I remember that. Like, everybody was talking about that during that time, being like, yeah, we need more of this. We need more of that. So, yes, thank you so much for bringing that up. All right, next up, we got the Orange Cassidy-John Moxley match. This is the rematch for the AEW International Championship. Do you think that AEW is going to go the obvious direction? And by that, I mean putting the belt on John Moxley, since that's the way that they had the trajectory going before before the concussion and everything?
This one's hard, I think, Denise. It's the hardest one for me because if you watching Dynamite last night and Moxley cutting that promo, like, Orange Cassidy has to win, doesn't he? I don't know. Is the babyface, you just got called out and you're going to lose on pay-per-view three nights later? I don't know. I feel like Cassidy has to win, but at the same point, like, this couldn't have been the plan, clearly, right? Because Moxie wasn't supposed to lose the belt. He was concussed in that match with Phoenix. This program hasn't worked, which is tough because this was Orange Cassidy's chance to really elevate himself to that upper tier, close to the main event, maybe in the main event. I don't know. I feel like I would still be patient. I would have Moxie win again. I'd like to see Moxie win again and have him be the guy that Orange Cassidy can't beat. Especially, like, their match was in a main event. It was
phenomenal.
Oh, and it was right after, too. It was right after Orange Cassidy. It was after, or mid the whole Punk situation. Cassidy cuts this promo. He never talks. The crowd ate it up. Like, he got the crowd to buy in. He wrestles this incredible main event. He loses but wins over the crowd. I just wouldn't have the payoff be mid-match, mid-card at Full Gear. I don't know. I'd wait. I don't think the timing's right. So I hope that they show patience here. I'm sure the match will be great no matter what, but I would do if that's what you're hinting at, I would have Moxie win the belt. I would go the way that they plan to go. And eventually, when the time's right, you have Cassidy win the belt.
See, I was going to go with Orange Cassidy because I felt like Orange Cassidy should have won their first match together. I was actually a little disappointed. As much as I like John Moxley, I just felt like this would have just done so much more for Orange Cassidy. And so I was going to say, like, surprise us here and have Orange Cassidy get the win here. But you brought up a good point about if you're going to have Orange Cassidy defeat Jon Moxley, it can't be, like you mentioned, in the middle of the card, right? But then again, it's hard to say because, okay, next pay-per-view, Revolution, if they do this match again, World's End, if they do this match again, it's going to be somewhere in the middle of the card. It's probably not going to be the main event. So I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy because I want them to surprise us and do something different. And I feel like Jon Moxley got stuck in the situation before with the world championship. And now we're seeing it with the international championship. So yeah, I want them to surprise us and I want the unexpected to happen. And that is for Orange Cassidy to beat Jon Moxley.
I do worry. I think, and I actually think that's what'll happen. I'm kind of hoping that they're patient and they go the other route. But I guess what worries me is, like, the question is always, where do we go from here? Like, this was such a great build for Cassidy. And I think you hit it, right? Like, I wanted him to win the first match. That's perfect. Like, I think that's what they were looking for people to do, to buy into Cassidy even more and to feel with him and feel for him. And I don't know. I just, the injury, it hasn't gone the way they planned, clearly, because Mox hasn't been healthy. So whatever happens, I mean, two stars, obviously Moxie's a made man in AEW, right? Made man wherever he goes. But for Cassidy, I hope this is what he needs to go to the next level.
I second that. Here we go. Next one. Speaking of next level, we got the Texas Deathmatch Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland. This is a rematch from WrestleDream, but this time Texas Deathmatch Hangman Page has been 3-0 in these death matches. Do you think that Swerve ends that Texas Deathmatch streak that Adam Cole has been on?
I would have said no until, again, you're always looking for clues and hints, and the Dynamite promo, like, Page outsmarting, Hangman outsmarting Swerve. Babyface outsmarts the heel. It's interesting, right? Like, I don't know. I don't see that happening again on Saturday. I'm going to go with Swerve. And again, Hangman's a former world champ, and Hangman is part of the elite. Hangman's Hangman. Hangman's fine, win or lose. I think you want to keep building Swerve. He's such a special talent. I would go Swerve here. I would end the streak, absolutely.
I'm so with you on this one, too. I think this has been my favorite feud also. I've said this before, but my favorite feud heading into Full Gear. I just think that I've liked everything. And we're talking about elevating guys and going to that next level. I do think that if Swerve were to defeat Hangman Adam Page, we're talking about leveling up here. So I agree. I'm going with Swerve as well. All right. Next one. Let's get into the trios match. So we're going to be seeing Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne take on Adam Copeland, Darby Allin, and Sting. All right, so this one here, what are your expectations? I think this one's more so of like the fun match on the show. This is the one that I'm expecting to have a lot of fun with just watching.
I'm gonna feel like I'm back in middle school watching these guys, you know. But yeah, I agree, it's gonna be fun. To me, I don't see who can take a pin on the Copeland, Sting, Darby side, right? Where you've Luchasaurus and Wayne on the other side who are there to eat pins for you right now. So I think the good guys prevail here. Maybe Christian somehow gets the last laugh. Give Christian some time on the microphone. I think that's what people want more than anything. And Denise, I think everyone wants to see, it's just such an uncomfortable air when Christian sits down at those post-show press conferences. There's nothing like it. People are afraid to ask questions.
I'm afraid. I never ask him any questions. If you notice, I'm like, no, thanks.
Well, he's answering them in character, so they're harder to ask when you're asking them out of character.
Don't you feel dorky? I feel dorky whenever the wrestler is like in character in the press conferences. Like, I kind of feel like a goof asking questions, because what am I going to do? Ask a question that pertains to the storyline? Like, that's going to make me look dumb, right? But then if I ask a serious question, it's going to make me look dumb because people are going to think I don't recognize that this person is in character.
It's an unwinnable battle. It's always, for me, written pieces, if it's funny when someone, if we're on the phone, and I can think of a couple instances, I ask the question and I get an in-character answer. It's like, all right, want to try that again? Like, can we talk just us? And then it's the character again. It's like, all right, like, what are we going to do? But it is what it is. But I mean, Christian is a master of that character. He's been doing this. One of my first indie shows, it was a million years ago. Man, it was in the 90s. I have the date in my email. I'd have to go back and look it up, because in an interview we talked about it. He was young, and I remember the ceiling was so low in this. My father took me to this like ballroom. We'd have to look up, but Christian won like a 8-man tournament that night. and he cut this promo. It was an old Bob Orton promo that he kind of like retooled about the water coming hard and the water coming fast. The flood was coming hard and the flood was coming fast. And so he's been a favorite of mine for a long time. I mean, he's been doing this and doing this at a high level for so long. It's going to be Masters of the Craft. And it's so, we're so lucky to be able to watch Sting perform at his age doing what he does. Edge or Adam Copeland, whatever you want to call him, all these guys, right? It's so much fun to see superstars doing it their way and going their terms. So yeah, I'm excited. I think the good guys prevail here, and I'm with you. I wouldn't ask him any questions.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And I agree too. Also going for the good guys here on this one. I just want to see Sting just get a bunch of wins until, you know, his final match. So, all righty, we are going to go ahead and move on into the women's bout. And this is for the AEW Women's World Championship. Hikaru Shida defending her title against Timeless Toni Storm. So Justin, how much have you loved Toni Storm's character?
Brilliant. And it's one of those, for anyone that, more than welcome to criticize AEW all they want, but like Toni Storm wouldn't, this Toni Storm would not exist in WWE. It wouldn't. I mean, she just, this character wouldn't be there, and it's a reason why there should be competition, and it's healthy for pro wrestling, and it's a reason why it's a wonderful thing that AEW and more competition exists for characters like Toni Storm to develop in this timeless character. Yeah, she's been phenomenal. And the only thing she's missing, I mean, I think it's the one critique you could say of her right now, is she's missing gold. Won't be an issue after Saturday night.
I think it's very obvious. I think Toni Storm is getting the W as well. So I agree with you. This character has been phenomenal. I mean, we've been raving about it like every Wednesday on the post show or when she's on Collision. Whenever she's on, we're talking about it, right? They've really hit the jackpot, I would say, with Toni Storm's new character.
Let's break my heart, though, that Hikaru Shida, it becomes again. But it's like, it's no knock on her. It's just, we love
timing. It's timing.
I know. And yeah, but that just means she'll be the first ever four-time champion, because it's going to happen. So she's that good. So it's hard, but I think it's Toni's time.
I agree. All righty. Well, before we go ahead and get into our main event and talk about that, Justin, I've been getting the very best sleep of my life, and here is why. Did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? It can lead to acne, allergies, and stuffy noses, and it's just gross. Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning, eco-friendly bedding such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent 99% of bacteria and require 3 times less laundry. Through their silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA, Miracle Made is designed to keep you at the perfect temperature so you get better sleep every night. Miracle Sheets are the perfect gift for your spouse, friends, or family. Who doesn't want better sleep and luxurious feeling bed sheets? And since these come with 3 free towels, you get 2 gifts in 1 just in time for the holidays. Go to trymiracle.com/Denise to try it today or gift it to someone special this holiday season. Save over 40% off. And if you use the promo code Denise at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/Denise to treat yourself, a friend, or loved one this holiday season. The link is in the description box below. Main event time. Here we go.
I'm sorry. I know you get the show tonight. I'm so excited.
But we no, it's okay.
So many emotions in that video. First, it was like I was grossed out at the connection, and I'm like, oh, I gotta clean my sheets. And by the end, I was getting my credit card ready. So well done. That was well done.
Yes, that's the point of the video. Let's go. Let's go. That makes me happy because I always try to come up with ideas for these videos. So thank you very much. Alrighty, here we go, everyone. Main event time. We've got the AEW World Championship on the line. MJF taking on Jay White. Dang, Justin, when you think about this, when you think about before Jay White was even in AEW, to think that this is happening, this match, how excited are you for it? But do you think there's an actual chance that we're going to see a title change at all?
No, I'm still excited, though. I mean, this is a guy that headlined Wrestle Kingdom. You know, Switchblade doesn't talk about this in his interviews anymore, but we used to do something. We got threatened litigation, so we had to change it, but it was the Wrestler's Tribune. And as a Boston guy, I took pride when the Players Tribune, which was partially owned by Derek Jeter, threatened litigation, and we had to change the name of it. anyways, but Jay White did a story one week, and it was kind of about his past and going to WrestleMania. I believe it was the WrestleMania in Atlanta, and how much he loves this, and it's who he is, and coming from the opposite side of the world, like the odds were just that much more against him. I feel like his title run just happened by carrying the title, and that's not an insult, but he built this match into something special. I thought his promo last night on Dynamite was the best promo he's had yet in AEW, when he said, "Max, we know who you are." This is an old reference, Denise, but it's the Tatanka-Lex Luger feud, and Tatanka said to Lex, "You sold out," when really it was Tatanka that sold out with the corporation. Anyways, I think that Jay was speaking the truth last night. You can't trust Max. I think Max is like his greatest heel turns coming yet on the fan base. I just don't know when we see it. Do we see it now? Do we see it later? I think Max finds a way to win, but I think whatever happens next is devil related. Does that get revealed tomorrow, Saturday night? I don't know. There's so
it
many.
It has to, right?
You would think, could you string this out to the end of the year? I suppose you're really better to deliver if you're going to make this go into the month. But I think that Max retains, and I'm not sure when this title reign ends, but I think it extends beyond Saturday.
So I agree with you. I also think that it's going to be MJF winning, even though I had hopes for Jay White when this whole thing first started. But as the story has progressed, I think it's very clear that it's going to be MJF. And in terms of like the devil, I still don't know what direction they're going to go with that. Who knows? It might be something that we haven't even thought of, even though we've all been bouncing around theories. But I am looking forward to this match, though, just for the simple fact that MJF continues to kind of, I don't want to say surprise us, because his body of work in ring has been really great. So to say surprise would be to take away from the body of work that MJF has been doing. But I feel like I'm excited to see what he's going to do in there with somebody like AJ White, who we also know can freaking go in the ring. So I think that's more so the appeal for me in this match. It's more so seeing what they're going to do with the actual physical portion of the match.
And I imagine they're getting a good 25, 30 minutes when we get to watch Max. And I know he's been champ for a little while, about a year now, but as a babyface champ, he had the Kenny match. But like, we're seeing the Adam Cole stuff, was who was the good guy there. We're going to see Max as a good guy in this match. Like, that's the story, right? Max is the babyface, Jay's the heel. Like, we'll see it play out. How does Max corral the crowd throughout the whole match? How does he capture their emotion? Yeah, I think there's a lot of unknowns in this match. It should be really exciting. And again, I think we're all going to be waiting. What happens next with the devil? What happens with the devil? Who's the devil? I still think it's Max. It's the whole Vince pulling off the mask and saying it was me. I think they're going to go that direction. But I don't know. There's, like you said, there's so many ways this could go. But I'm with you. I think Max holds on to the belt.
Yeah, one of the things that I just said too is I just don't want it to be disappointing. I want it to like feel exciting and be like, oh my God, we should have seen it, or yes, I was right. I just don't want to be disappointed with it, because when stuff like this gets built up, the higher it gets, all of a sudden your expectations and your hopes could just be completely dismantled, right?
Well, somebody said recently, where did I read this? There hasn't been a good wrestling surprise since the NWO. It's like, maybe my expectations are still low. When Brody Lee was announced as the leader of the Dark Order, I was like, oh, I loved it. And that was during the pandemic and, like, you know, desperately needed new content in our lives and we didn't have any. And I was like, this is awesome. So I don't know. Maybe my expectations are lower, but I agree. They just got to deliver. Like, I think Jungle Boy probably isn't the right fit. I think I read somewhere if Tony Khan was the devil, we pointed, I agree. But like, you're right. Whatever it is, you can't swing and miss. I completely agree.
That would be absolutely freaking nuts, man.
Imagine.
It would be nuts.
I kind of want to see it now.
It would be hilarious, but like in like the most, I don't even know what kind of way, but I think people are now are just like throwing out all these predictions, right? I'm ready though. And I do hope that they reveal it at Full Gear, because I think Full Gear needs that extra pizzazz, right? Because we don't usually get like one little surprise on AEW pay-per-views. We usually get like a whole like boatload of stuff coming out of it. And I think I have a feeling that AEW might want to end the year in a newsy kind of way. And what else is there to do that than do the reveal, then whoever signs at AEW, plus obviously getting over with just the matches in general. So yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking.
Plus, if you in next month at World's End, like the timing works with, and obviously there's a lot of people flying out to Tokyo. Like, you can easily bring in surprises from New Japan or make connections to New Japan. There's ways you can bring in new faces to, or unexpected faces to that show, or that you, I agree. I think Full Gear needs a little bit of oomph. Tony loves surprises. You've got the one signee, the new signing. And this too. Denise, I've got a question for you.
Ooh, I like this. What is it?
Tonight, the Revolver show. Who wins the, does Ronda Rousey win in her tag team?
She's got to, right?
I don't think she's taking the pin.
No. Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. I don't know. I would like to see Ronda get the win though, with her and Marina Shafir. I think it could be kind of fun.
So excited for Billy. And what a fun, like.
I know. Like to find herself in this matchup at such a young age.
And I love the idea too, that like, and I think WWE was a, I still think you have to mark it as a success for Ronda. Obviously not that to the hype, but I think everyone thought it would be, but still, I mean, it was a, I mean, they headlined, she helped headline WrestleMania 35. There were a lot of positives from Ronda's run there, but I love the fact she's still in love with pro wrestling and still wants to work with her friend and still wants to work indie shows. Like, how do you not respect that? So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm headed to the show, actually, so I'll be there. If anybody here is going to be at the Wrestling Revolver show, I will be there. So I'm hoping just to go and enjoy myself. It's been a while since I've gone to just like a regular indie show. It's actually been several months for me.
The last time I really, please be careful. The last time I really rushed to a show, it was Poughkeepsie. It was a Kenny Omega, man, was it Penta match? Or no, Phoenix. It was Kenny Omega, Phoenix. And I remember rushing there and I needed to get gas. So I stopped for food and then I hit traffic and I'm on a 2-lane highway in Poughkeepsie and I am burning it. And I hydroplaned and I'm spinning and I'm thinking like, this is the worst place I could die. The car was banged up, but it was a single car crash. Like I didn't hit anybody. I was safe. Thankfully I made it to the show and I still laugh with Kenny about this, but after his match, we were going to have an interview. So I wanted to make sure that I got to the show on time, right? Or maybe was there to watch his match, take notes, do the interview. And after the match, I'll never forget. And I'm still like, my heart's still beating, right? Because you're in a car crash and I was okay.
Thing. Not in the right frame of mind.
And he came up to me and said, man, it's been a long day. Do you mind if we reschedule? I laughed and said, oh, no worries. And we did. And it was fine. The interview went well. And it was a great match. So, but yeah, that was Mike Kingston and I went to some diner in Poughkeepsie and I was wide awake, right? Because I'm just adrenaline alone and Mike kind of works crazy hours and Mike Kingston with Headlock, for those who don't know, he's a tremendous artist and creator and that's kind of a fun story. Anyways, drive safely tonight, please.
No, oh yeah, no worries. I will. I think I'm going to take a ride share. So I'll see. Yeah, for sure. Heel Hammer says post-match, the devil shows up and steals the title.
Hey, I like man. That.
I wouldn't mind that either. Steals the title, runs up to the ramp, bam, unmask. As long as we get an unveiling, like we got to get an unveiling there.
I'm with you. I think you're right. Full Gear needs that. It's just tough to end with just Matt. And no offense to Max, and Max is a superb talent. Just Max's hand in the air, or just Jay White's hand in the air. Like they've set this devil storyline up. We need a finish.
Yes. Steven Marchulli says Max as a devil would be epic. I don't know. I don't think that's the direction that they're going. I know you had mentioned it too. And I know a lot of people have also brought that up because it would be such a swerve, but I don't think that's the direction they're going to go in. I don't think that they're going to risk it and it getting to like all of a sudden to sci-fi or something. So for that reason, I'm going to say no.
Max could pull it off with the, like, I know Vince, like I remember being partially disappointed in Vince and that like image of Vince saying, it was me, Austin, it was me, lives on and on and on. But like Max, the type of promo who could pull it off. I don't know. I'm with you. You said it exactly right though. Whatever it is, just don't disappoint us. I think that's the key. If it's creative, if it's different, I think people will be fairly understanding, but it just can't be a whiff, you know?
Exactly. All righty. So there you go. That was our AEW Full Gear prediction show. Justin, I seriously want to thank you though for taking the time. I know you're super busy to do this prediction show with me. I love just like hearing your insight. Everybody here on the comments that were saying some really great stuff too about the insight that you provided on the show. Before we go, let the people know, like, where can they read your work? Because you talk to literally the who's who of pro wrestling. Whoever's anybody in wrestling, you're talking to them.
Thank you. As I tell stories about speeding in Poughkeepsie, si.com/wrestling. Yeah, it's a joy to cover pro wrestling and MMA too, and sometimes branching into other pro sports. But I love covering combat sports, particularly pro wrestling. When I started in grad school, I remember pitching pro wrestling to professors and them kind of being like, it would be good for a story or two. But as much fun as everything we see in the ring is, I feel like it's always that much more exciting or that much more. There's another great story equally as good behind the curtain. And to be able to share some of that is so much fun. So, and it's nice to share this space with such talented creative people like yourself. And there's so many that populate the field. So thank you very much. But usually every day, you know, there's two or three stories, si.com/wrestling. Yeah, it's a joy to be able to spread the gospel of pro wrestling.
I love it. I did put the links in the description box below so that you guys can give some love to Justin Barrasso and check out some of his work there. Link to his Twitter page because I know you're always sharing your stories on there too. So make sure to check that out, guys. Chances are, if you've read some really great interviews, chances are they came from Justin Barrasso. So thank you so much, Justin, for doing the prediction show. As for me, you guys know where to find me at _DenniseSalcedo. Please go and check out the recent interview that I just did with Chris Statlander. It's a very, very fun one. We played Never Have I Ever. Had a very good time playing that with her. But until next time, we'll catch you guys. The next time I will be back here on the channel is on Sunday. Reg and I will be live doing an in-person show for AEW Full Gear. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.